ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the last nama that we saw, the last class was 227th nama, Sahasrapath, with 1000 legs. So before that, some of the namas that we have studied is Sahasramurdha, 1000 heads, Ishvatma, the soul of the universe, and Sahasraksha, with 1000 innumerable eyes, and Sahasrapath, with 1000 innumerable legs. So, in other words, from head to toe, in the microcosm and the macrocosm, the entire universe is pervaded by Brahman. Remember in the beginning we studied Bhupadav Yasya Nabhibhyat Asura Nila Chandra Surya Ucha Netre. When we studied that Jhanam, Bhupadav means the feet is earth. He says in that shloka, in the Jhanam, he says the feet of Mahavishnu is earth and the head is heavens. So which means the entire universe from head to toe, whether from the microcosmic point of view or from the macrocosmic point of view, it is all nothing but provided by Brahman and Brahman alone. And therefore he says, he is the one who is thinking through all the heads. He is the one who is moving through all the legs. He is the one who is seeing through all the eyes. And he is the center of this entire universe, the soul of this universe. Soul of the universe in the sense, if you take away the soul, if you take away Bhagavad Gita from Mahabharata, Mahabharata is just a story. So, if you compare Mahabharata to a necklace, Bhagavad Gita would be the pendant. So, the soul of this universe, Vishwatma, is none other than Vishnu, the pure consciousness. So, when we stop identifying with the soul and start identifying with all the material aspects, it is as good as throwing away Bhagavad Gita and contacting Mahabharata. So therefore he says, Vishwatma, Sahasramurdha, Vishwatma, Sahasraksha, Sahasrapat. Now next shloka. Avartano nivrittatma samvritta sampramardhanaha ahasamvarta kovanni anilodharani daraha. Avartano nivrittatma samvritta sampramardhanaha ahasamvarta rovanni anilodharani daraha. Avartanaha, one who whirls round and round the samsaric chakra, the wheel of samsara of worldly existence. So he is the one who whirls the samsaric chakra. You know, like when the potter is making the pot, he swirls the, what do you call the wheel and then makes the pot. So similarly he says, here for the samsaric chakra, the one who whirls around the samsaric chakra, the center is Mahavishnu. None other than Mahavishnu is this. So, in short, what he is saying is, he turns the wheel of worldly life. He is the one who turns the wheel of worldly life. That's what he is saying here. So, our lives would be impossible if the pure consciousness were not enlivening it. That's the idea here. He is the one who is the center around, because of which the world revolves, the life revolves, every human being's life activity happens. So therefore he says, avartanaha. And then he says, nivruttatma, one whose being is free or untouched by the bondage of samsara. This is why he is called as Ishvara. One who, without whom, there won't be samsara. See, why is samsara happening? Samsarati iti samsaraha. So therefore, that which is constantly changing is called samsara. So when he says, he is the one who whirls the samsara, what it means is, the mind is enlivened by Atma. And the moment mind comes into picture, samsara comes. So therefore, there is no possibility of samsara without Atma enlivening it. Atma enlivening the body, mind, intellect. Therefore, he says, I am the one who is behind the samsaric cycle. But at the same time, I am free from whatever happens in this samsara. I am not affected by anything that is happening on the screen. So he says, one who is the unseen dynamism behind the ever whirling wheel of time upon which the endless drama of birth and death happens, says one commentator. So, one who is the one behind the wheel of time. Samsara means samsarati iti samsara, that which constantly changes. And that which constantly changes is called what? Time. So the wheel of time is because of whom? Because of the pure consciousness. And on that this endless drama of birth and death is happening. So therefore, he is the one behind this samsara. Birth and death, birth and death. In fact, according to philosophy, philosophically, when you say birth means change, when you say death means change, birth means death means change. So time constantly moves. And that time is underlined by the pure consciousness. Yet that pure consciousness never comes under the control of the time. So he says, Nivrittatma. So the pure self, which has said that I am, completely free, means what? I don't identify with this matter. It is the jiva, the ego, who thinks that he is the perceiver, actor, feeler, thinker. He or she, because of ignorance, identify with this and then they are trapped. But Brahman, Atman, the pure consciousness, Vishnu, is never ever trapped. Therefore, he is called Nivrittatma. Nivritti, Pravritti. Pravritti means what? Action. Nivritti means? What is Pravritti and Nivritti? Action and? Action means that which you ought to do. And Nivritti means that which you? What? That which you?
Should not do.
Avoid doing. Right? So in other words, here this term Nivrittatma means even though the action is going on, I am, as far as I am concerned, free. A sannyasi, for example, Pravritti means one who is in the samsara. Nivritti means one who is free from samsara. Sannyasi. He says, I am Nivrittatma, the pure consciousness is absolutely free from all the nonsense that is happening on the stage. Then Samvrataha. This is another nama of Lord Vishnu. Samvrataha. Who is veiled? He who is veiled by avidya that covers him. As it were is a term we got to add. So he allows, as it were, for the, what do you call, the Maya to cover fully and then create all this nonsense. He says, he who is veiled by avidya. Avidya, strictly speaking, cannot cover Atma. Adi Shankara gives a beautiful example in Atma Bodha. He says, clouds are formed by the sun's heat. Isn't it? And from a particular angle, it appears as if clouds cover the sun. The very clouds are formed by sun's heat only. But it appears as if they cover the sun. But strictly speaking, clouds cannot cover the sun. From our angle, it appears as if the clouds are covering the sun. Similarly, the very ignorance and everything is subservient to Vishnu or Brahman or Ishvara. But it appears as if it's covered by ignorance, and in that condition it's called as Samvrataha. Then Sampramardanaha. One who, persecutes relentlessly men who are sensual, evil minded, fully extroverted. So in other words, those who are selfish, extroverted people, he crushes them. Egoistic people. So he is like Death or Rudra who crushes. And the moment you start becoming too selfish, what happens? The nature, the law, slowly, slowly destroys you. That's why you start feeling agitated. No selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person will be unhappy. So, sampramardhanaha, the crusher, one who persecutes people who are sensual. Sensual in the sense, you see, how this universe is created and maintained is, if you see the design, you got to give carbon dioxide and you got to take in oxygen. It's an exchange. You can't say, I will only take in oxygen, I will not give carbon dioxide in return. You will die. So this exchange has to go on. The moment you hoard, he will crush you. See, this is called the yajna way of living. We have said this 1,000 times. Whatever you may earn through your hard-earned efforts, you got to recycle it. You got to recirculate it. You can't afford to hoard it. This is another important lesson that we learn in Vishnu Sahasrama, isn't it? Mahalakshmi, Sri Nivas. Sri Nivas means she resides there. So, wherever there is Narayana, there she resides. So, Narayana is someone who is all pervading. So, if you understand that concept, why would you hoard? That doesn't mean you splurge things, but you would reinvest, recycle for the betterment of the total. If you do that, then you will not be crushed. But if you don't do, if you hoard for your sense pleasures at the cost of everything else, then the law will punish you. So from that angle is called as sampramardhanaha. Then hasamvartakaha. One who trills the day and makes it function vigorously. That's what it means. Ahasamvartakaha. The regulator of day. Day and night is regulated because of the sun's movement. And who's regulating the sun's movement? And due to the sun's movement and everything, the earth revolving, the seasons come and go. So therefore, the entire seasons change, everything is regulated by Vishnu. Very interesting. If it's only summer, what will happen? Life will not be possible. If it's only winter, life will not be possible. Well, all the time raining, life will not be possible. So, he regulates. That's what it means. It's a beautiful nama. Aha samvartakaha. One who regulates the day. The regulator of the day. Then, vannihi. The fire. He is the one who, as fire in the yajna, carries your offering and gives it to the respective gods. See, when you conduct a yajna, what are you doing? You are offering ahuti. You are muttering certain chantings. And this offering is done to a particular devata, but you are giving it to the fire god. But what does fire god do? He takes it and hands it over to that particular devata. He is like a postman. So that vannihi raised fire, who is worshipped at the altar as a god of gods. The fire, first of all, is chosen as a symbol of God because there are a few reasons for it. The first one could be, of the five elements that we could, that we know, that which the world is made up of, space, air, fire, water, earth. Space is a subtlest. Space pervades all the other four elements. All the other four elements exist in space. And space, since the sound travels in space, the only sense organ that can contact the space at all is your ears. No other sense can contact space. But when you talk about air, space can only be contacted by ears, but air can be contacted by ear and which one? Which other sense organ can contact the air. Anybody?
Earth.
No, sense organ.
Oh, sense organ, sorry.
Ear can contact
skin, no?
Huh?
Touch. Skin, not touch.
Yeah.
Skin, yes. And then fire. Apart from, you can hear the sound of the fire and you can sense the warmth in your skin, you can also see fire. Isn't it? You can see fire. And therefore, fire can be contributed by three elements. And in fact, the first element in the order of subtlety that can be seen is fire. That is why fire is taken to be a symbol of God. That is one reason. And when you come to water, apart from these three, even tongue can contact. When it comes to earth, even your nose can contact. All the five elements, sorry, all the five sense organs can contact the earth. Four can contact water, three can contact fire, two can contact air, only one can contact sound. Sound is the subtlest. Whereas eyes first see, or rather the first element that can be seen is fire. Therefore, fire is taken to be the object of worship. Number one reason. Number two, when you light a torch, you hold it straight or upside down. Still the fire moves upward or downward?
Upward.
Upward. So that which always points to the highest is taken as the symbol of God. And when you light fire, what does it do? It removes darkness. Isn't it? So that is another reason for taking fire to be God. Like this, there are a few reasons why fire is taken as God. So that's what he's saying. So in the worship, during the Vedic period, they worshipped fire. So they worshipped fire means what? They invoked the various deities and oblations were poured into the fire in the Vedic rituals. And Lord Fire, what did he do? He take it and gave it to the respective devatas. No. So therefore, this fire is none other than Lord Vishnu, into whom you are offering. He, through the respective devatas, gives you the fruit. Therefore, it's called as Vannihi. And then a beautiful nama, Anilaha. Anilaha means the beginningless, you know. That which has no beginning, that which is without beginning, anadi, is called anila. And he is unaffected by virtue or vice like air. And he is beyond disillusion. All these are different meanings of the term anilaha. So, beginningless is what Adi Shankara takes as the meaning here. Though it has different meanings, you know. He takes the meaning to be, for example, beginningless. It is also Anilaha also means air, vayu. Vayu ranila mahim amurtama dedam. We have chanted this shloka in the Upanishads. Vayu, amurtam, anilam, all this. So anila means vayuhu. Anilam also means beginningless. Anilam also means food, eater of food rather. And also it means the homeless. So there are many meanings, but Adi Shankara takes the meaning beginningless, one without beginning, like air. Now, can you say where air begins, ends? Everywhere, isn't it? Moves everywhere. Therefore, he says, it is like anila, beginningless. Then, dharani dharaha. Dharaha means one who bears. Dharani means the earth, the bearer of the earth. The one who supports this entire universe, Dharani Dharaha, means one who supports the entire world, earth, is called Dharani Dharaha. And earth is the place where we go through all our experiences. So earth can be called as the field of our experiences. So therefore, in all the worldly experiences, consciousness is the substratum that enlivens all the experiences. Therefore, Dharani Dharaha. Next shloka. సుప్రసాద ప్రసన్నాత్మా విశ్వదా సారీ విశ్వదృక్ విశ్వభృక్ సత్కర్త సత్కృత సాధు జుష్ణు నారాయణో నరః సుప్రసాద ప్రసన్నాత్మా విశ్వదృక్ విశ్వదృక్ విశ్వభుక్ విభు సత్కర్త సత్కృత సాధు జుష్ణు నారాయణో నరః సుప్రసాదః ప్రసాద మీన్స్ గ్రేస్ సుప్రసాద మీన్స్ యు నో ద సుప్రీం గ్రేస్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ సుప్రీం గ్రేస్ అండ్ హూ సో లిటిల్ సో ఈజీలీ బికమ్స్ సో ఎంటైర్లీ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ ఇస్ వన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెనేషన్ గివెన్ బై అ కమెంటేటర్ సుప్రసాద గ్రేషియస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ టు హూమ్ సో ఎవర్ సరెండర్స్ హీ గివ్స్ లిబరేషన్ సో హీ గివ్స్ సాల్వేషన్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూఆర్ అ రాంగ్ డూయర్ సేస్ భగవద్గీత వెరీ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ ఇఫ్ యూ నో ద స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ జయా విజయ ద గేట్ కీపర్స్ దే వర్ కర్స్ టు బి బోర్న్ ఆన్ అర్త్ ద గేట్ కీపర్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు దే వర్ కర్స్ టు బి బోర్న్ ఆన్ అర్త్ అండ్ దెన్ దే వర్ గివెన్ అ చాయిస్ యూ కెన్ బి బోర్న్ ఆన్ అర్త్ ఫర్ 100 జన్మాస్ యాజ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఆర్ యూ కెన్ బి బోర్న్ ఆన్ అర్త్ యాజ్ వర్స్ట్ ఎనిమీస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ but only 3 janmas which one would you choose and they chose 3 janmas because their idea is quickly I must get back yeah who wants to live on earth being a devotee of god so he said no I want to get back to brahman and be with him to serve him you know swamiji talks about the pickwick papers book he says in that for something the boss was caught and put in jail and by the time he could prove his innocence and come out the servant in the house he purposely did some small mischief and went to the jail and you know why he went to the jail
to serve his master
you know that was his only goal so if my master is gone to jail I'll also go to jail to serve him that's the kind of a thought So, like that, you know, he says, Sup Prasadaha, gracious, he gives salvation to even the evildoers. He only looks from your point of view to serve you. So, he said, okay, you guys go and be born as the worst enemies of God and I will come and release you guys and take you for liberation. So, they were born, the Jaya and Vijaya were born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And they were released by God's avatara. God came down as avatara and then released them. And then Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were also released. Then Kamsa and Shishupala. Shishupala hurls abuses at Lord Krishna. 100th abuse, he gives him moksha. Now, it doesn't mean that you start hurling abuses at God. What it means is, they have this virodha bhakti. You know. They are constantly thinking of the Lord, even though God is the virodha. So, that's another kind of a bhakti, virodha bhakti. So, even to such people, he comes and gives them salvation. He's a very, very gracious person. See, when do you become a mahatma? You become a mahatma when you are able to forgive. When you are not able to forgive, you are not a mahatma. You become mahatma when you are able to forgive. Not that you feel egoistic that you are somebody, that you are forgiving somebody, not in that attitude. Forgiving is nothing but understanding at the intellectual level. And with compassion you look at them. So that, you know, grace of the Lord. He says, Suprasada, Prasanna Atma. Prasannam means what? Prasanna. His face looks very prasanna. the people whose name is Prasanna. So he is Prasada and Prasanna. Prasanna means what? Bright, luminous. You know. So he says Prasannatma means always blissful self. All blissful self and always blissful self. It's called Prasannatma. Always of delightful nature. See, what takes away your joys? Your joys are taken away by tamas and rajas. The moment the tamas and rajas are removed, you become, there is no desire. You don't want anything from anybody. You do not want anything for your personal sake. You know? So, that kind of a person is called Prasannatma. Then only you will be bright. Why your brightness goes? Your brightness goes because tamasic or rajasic qualities are there. When your tamasic and rajasic qualities are removed, you become Prasannatma. Then Vishwadruk. He is the mighty source of all existence in everything and every being. Vishwadruk, the overlord of the cosmos, the creator of the cosmos, and he is the one from whom this entire universe came about. So therefore he is called as a mighty source of all existence with, you know, in everything and every being. It's called Vishwadruk. Then Vishwabhuk, one who enjoys or swallows all experience. The enjoyer of the cosmos, the ruler of it. See, he not only is the one who created this universe, he is the one who is enjoying it. How would I say it? It's like you built an aircraft and you sit inside and fly it. So you created this universe and enter this universe and enjoying this universe through the various body, mind, intellects of various jivas. So deep inside, who is the real subject? The real subject is pure consciousness. Vishwa book. Then Vibhu. One who manifests himself in endless manifold forms. Vibhu. Prabhu, Vibhu. Prabhu means Lord. Vibhu means one who has pervaded this universe and has come out in various forms. He is called Vibhu. And then Satkarta. One who revels and adores those who are good and wise. That's what it means. Satkartaha. Satkartaha. He honors good people. He reveres good people. He, the radiant, served his gurus, etc. They say, you know. So, as the saying, he says, he the radiant served his gurus. Meaning, this is what Adi Shankara says. What it means is, he reveres good people. What does it mean? The good people are those who are moving towards the Atma, who are living dharmically, who are going by the laws. So he says, he is Satkarta. Satkritaha, one who is adored by all good people. He adores good people and good people adore him. Selfish fellows do not adore him. They are not interested. They don't want anyone who governs the law. Selfish people say, why can't we smuggle? Why can't we swindle? Why should there be laws, rules? We should be allowed to swindle. So please allow us to swindle. This is the problem. But therefore they hate Brahman, Atman, the laws, Dharma. We hate it. Whereas here is a Satkritaha, one is adored by good people. They say, it's good, the system is there, it's good. The law is there, it's good. It's for us, for our sake. Then Sadhu, one who functions strictly according to the righteous code of living, called Sadhu. Sadhu means Atik Fellow. That's what it means. very righteous person. Sattvically, he accomplishes all his activities. He helps the good people who are in need. Sadhu. Sadhu means sattvic person. Then, Jahnuhu, the disintegrator. During the withdrawal of the universe, all the people are disintegrated. The entire universe is disintegrated. So the disintegrator of men during the withdrawal of the universe. That is the meaning of Jahnuhu. Then Narayanaha. Ayana means shelter. Nara for man. Nara for Nara. The shelter is Brahman, Vishnu. Simple meaning. Nara means man. Ayana means shelter, protector. So, Narayanaha means the shelter for beings, human beings. You can take the simple meaning rather than all other complications. No. So, the individual is called Nara. There is another meaning. No. So, the egoistic individuality is called as Nara. The one who protects them is the Ayanam, shelter. That is called Narayan. So, for all the human beings, the protector is Narayana. And then the next nama is Naraha. Naraha means the leader. The eternal Paramatma is called as Nara because he leads everything. This is the definition Sage Vyasa says. Everything is led and controlled by the pure consciousness. That is what leads everything, every being. Therefore, he is called as Naraha. Next shloka. Asamkeyo prameyatma vishishta shishtakrit chuchihi siddhartha siddha sankalpa siddhidas siddha sang siddha sadhanaha. Asamkeyo prameyatma vishishta shishtakrit chuchihi siddhartha siddha sankalpa siddhidas siddhi sadhanaha. This asankeyaha. Sankhya means number. Asankhyaha is the nama here. But Sankhya means number. Asankhya means numberless. He has innumerable manifestations, names and forms. Asankhyaha means one who has innumerable, numberless names and forms. That is what it means. Also it means unaccountable. Means what? Though he is the innumerable name and form, to him no name, form are applicable. So the calendar that you have at home, which gives the picture of Lord Narayana, is a picture designed by that fellow's mind. Don't think Narayana will look like this. Because tomorrow in meditation, supposing the Lord comes, and you say, you don't look like the one I saw in my calendar. So go back and come back like him. No. That's why they say, Lord can come in any form. You cannot particularly define him in a particular form. Unaccountable. Asankeyaha. Aprameyatma. Prameya means that which is possible to be known through any source of knowledge. Aprameya means impossible to know through any source of knowledge. The immeasurable self. That's what it means. The self is not something that can be known. It is that which makes you know everything. Either directly or indirectly, you cannot know Atma. So it is aprameya. Then Vishishtaha. Vishishtaha means one who transcends everything. Transcendental. You understand the meaning of the word transcendental? Anybody? What is the meaning of the word transcendental?
Something that goes beyond, is not contained.
Beyond the world, terrestrial and transcendental. So, Vishishta means, for example, in this universe, everything is subjected to Triguna. Okay. But he is what? He is Guna Atita. What does Guna Atita mean? One who is beyond Gunas. Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha is the one of the, pointers for Brahman. In fact, in our ashram, if it is anybody's birthday on that day, all of us together, we don't chant happy birthday to you and all that. We chant this shloka from Atma Bodha. Nirguno nishkriyo nityo nirvikalpo niranjanaha nirvikaro nirakaro nitya muktosmi nirmalaha. This is shloka number 34, Atma Bodha. So, first thing is nirgunaha. He's vishishta, he's different. He's apart, he's transcendental. He's somebody else. He's different in kind. Oh, Allah gaya. You know, they say in Hindi, no. He has a different tarika, they say. Alag tarika. He is a different guy. Why he is different? He, though he is in this world, he is apart from it. He is not affected by any gunas. He is not made of three gunas. He is guna atita, vishishta, transcendental. He is beyond. Please understand. Then he says, shishtakrita. Shishtakrita means one who governs. One who is a lawmaker and the law that governs the universe. It's called shishtakrita. Vishishtaha shishtakrita. He is the one who is the lawgiver and enacts the law and commands. And through the law, he protects the virtuous people. So, when you say krit, the root krit is used here particularly in the sense of protection. You know, so, shishta krit means one who follows dharma, he protects them. He commands the laws and through the laws, he protects. See, initially it looks like there is no law. But law will catch up and it will protect if you are following dharma. If you are not following dharma, then you will suffer. The next nama, Suchihi. Suchihi is mentioned in the scriptures. How many times they mention? Suchihi, Suchihi, Suchihi. Suchi means pure, clean. A spiritual person will have this value of cleanliness. See, what is spirituality ultimately? Anybody? In spirituality, what is one primary goal? What is one primary goal in spirituality?
Discipline, simple living.
God plus vasanas or desires equals human beings. Human beings minus vasanas equals God. So in spirituality, what are we supposed to do?
Try to reduce the vasanas.
That's it. Keep removing the impurities called the vasanas. Correct or not?
Yes.
So if you have to remove the impurity called the vasana, which is very subtle, you should at least be aware of the dirt at the external level, no? If you can't see the dirt at the external level, how are you going to see the dirt at the internal level? Therefore, as a sadhak...
Sorry Guruji, so dirt at the external level means all the vasana?
No, internal is vasana.
So, dirt at the external level would be?
No, any dirt.
You say now you have to be a... you know, you'll need, you want physically cleanliness.
Any dirt, environment, you see dirt. You see so much dirt is there in our street, our home. You be alert and clean it as much as possible. So a spiritual person will be aware of dirt. The whole concept in spirituality was remove all the mental dirts. And mental dirts are very subtle. If I can't remove the mental, I mean, if I want to remove the mental dirt, I should at least have, you know, some kind of cleanliness at the external level. If I cannot have cleanliness at the external level, what kind of cleanliness I can see at the internal level or achieve at the internal level? It's incredible, you know. Sometimes that's why, you know, when we go to our mandir, how do we keep our mandir? So much dirt everywhere. You won't keep your house like that. But why do you keep the mandir like that? Are you aware of the dirt? That suchihi. See, there is nothing else other than Atma. Only Atma is there. So there is nothing mixed with it. It's absolutely pure. So one who is pure, that's the meaning of suchihi. So as you reflect on this nama, you also become pure. You also will say, you know, as much as possible, you will try to be pure. You will be neat and clean at the external level. But neat and clean not for any other purpose. If the outside is neat and clean, it becomes conducive for the inside dirt to be seen and annihilated. In fact, Swamiji says, when I come to your room, the way you have kept things, I know how organized you are, how much disturbed you are. I know the state of your mind when I come and see your room. Somebody told me this, I don't know how far it is true. You are all involved in business, so you can confirm if it's true. When you are going to have a business done with Japanese companies, for example, if you are going to take their dealership or something like that, and they come and visit you to your existing dealership you know, office, and they give you dealership only after confirming something. You know what it is? The story I came to know from somebody. Supposing you are already running one car showroom, and you want to take the dealership of the Japanese company car, any car, Honda, Toyota, whatever. I don't know, it's subject to, I don't know whether it's correct, but this is what I heard.
How organized you are?
How organized? Correct.
But no, your back, your, you know, the scrapyard, your back side of the factory, you know, is that clean or not? I mean, front, everyone will keep it nice and clean.
And also I was told they'll go to the toilet and see how clean it is.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
If you cannot keep your factory, your toilets and things like that clean, how are you going to do business with that kind of, you know, this thing? Therefore, they say, only then only they'll give all your talks and all that. They're not going to see your profit, loss, this, that. What somebody told me, I don't know how far it's true. So, it's interesting. What do you see in a person? How, when you look at a person, you know, what is the state of the mind? They say, no, a person is disturbed. And they are going through depression and all. A room will be full of cobwebs, all things thrown around here and there. These are all signs of depression. Slowly, slowly. They, after some time what will happen is they were acclimatized to it. There is a very interesting thing I read. One fellow goes to a teacher, a spiritual teacher. And says, teacher, please accept me as your disciple. I want to learn from you and then become a teacher like you. So he says, please accept me, please accept me. The teacher is going on rejecting him. And one day, he is relentlessly trying. And the teacher says, okay, if I have to accept you, it will take about 20 years to learn from me, and then After that, are you ready to be ridiculed for 25 years? Okay, no problem. So what? If I'm ridiculed for 25 years, I'm ready for it. But he asked a question. What happens after 25 years? For which the guru answered, he said, you will get used to it. This is what happens. You get used to the dirt. You know. People say, what is wrong here? Why are you complaining? Things are all fine. Where is the dirt here? You're not aware. You're not aware. If you are not aware of the dirt outside, how are you going to catch the dirt inside? You will not. You cannot. Grass, dirt, you can't see. How will you see the subtle? Huh? Impossible. If you want to catch the vasana inside and eliminate it, you need to become pure. Siddhartha, one who has gained all that has to be gained and achieved. It's called Siddhartha, one whose objects are fulfilled. He obtains whatever he desires. Siddhartha. When he says everything that needs to be achieved is achieved, what does it mean? It means he reached the self. Only upon reaching the self you achieve everything that needs to be achieved. Till then in life there will be something or the other missing. See, it's very interesting. The name, the word artha, artha means wealth also, artha means meaning also. Siddhartha. So, the siddhi, the goal, which is the true meaning of life, is attaining the truth. Only then you will become absolutely fulfilled. Then only it means that you have led a meaningful life. Meaningful life means what? Some fulfillment has to be. To lead a life of no fulfillment, you have not led a meaningful life. Some mad chase here and there, you collected things that absolutely never fulfilled in life. What is the point? Then at the time of death, you will say, kya hai? What did I do with my 70 years, 90 years? Simply kept collecting pebbles, which are useless. I just kept collecting them. So what is this? Therefore, Siddhartha, Siddha Sankalpaha. It's beautiful. Siddha Sankalpa. Sankalpa means, what you can say, an intellectual wishing or willing. So, with that intellectual will, they accomplish the siddhi. Whatever they wish, they get. So, anything that they wish, they achieve. Now, anything that they wish they achieve means what? It means that, you know, if you understand this law, as you think, so shall you become. It will not be difficult to understand this. If you have 25,000 thoughts, what will you achieve? Anybody? You remember we studied that law of parallelogram of forces in school. And then that was used in our Vedanta class to talk about next birth and all that. I also said this example when we were doing the 8th chapter. And I said, as you think, so shall you become. See, law of parallelogram of forces, what happens is, when you keep an object at point O and give 50 Newton force in X direction and 50 Newton force in Y direction, which direction the object will move?
Z direction, different, which is combination of those two forces.
It will go in Z direction, the middle. Isn't it? 45 degree angle. Left direction 50 Newton, Y direction 50 Newton. Because both the forces are equal, the object will move neither in X nor in Y, it will move in Z direction. This is called as the law of parallelogram of forces, resultant force. So if you have 25,000 thoughts, you will move in the direction which is resultant of all those thoughts. But if you have one thought, then what will happen?
You just focus on that one thing you want to do.
That's all. You will accomplish. If you can bring yourself to one pointedness, you will get it. Ananyashintayantomam yejana padyupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahami aham. Say Shri Krishna. Ananyashinta. Chinta means thought. Ananyashinta means other thought. Ananyashinta means no other thought. There is no other thought. So when he says Siddha Sankalpaha, means what he is called a Siddha Sankalpaha, Lord, whatever he wants, he gets. Whatever he wants, he gets it. First of all, he doesn't want anything. Why does he want anything? Because he is?
Paripurna.
Paripurna is not incomplete, he's complete. Since he's complete, he doesn't want anything. So all his wishes, therefore, would be what? For the welfare of the world only. Nothing for himself. It is for the welfare of the world. Then he will have the thought for the welfare of the world. He has no obstructions. Only if you are selfish, the fear will be, agar milega, kya nahi milega. Mere ko kuch wrong name will come to me. Somebody will say something. Koi problem nahi. Jo karna, bolna chahiye, bolo. Shri Krishna will say, aapka marzi. You want to shout at me, shout, do what you want. I have no personal interest whatsoever. So, the subconscious is not having any obstacle. You remember another name, Aniruddha. Aniruddha means one who doesn't have any obstacles. So, he is called Siddha Sankalpaha. Siddhidaha. Siddhidaha means one who is the giver of the appropriate reward for all actions. You do something, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. Your actions will bring you the results according to your actions. Very, very interesting. Everybody gets their due according to their actions. Whoever maintains that is called Siddhidaha. One who is the giver of the appropriate reward for all actions. Siddhi Sadhanaha. One who is the very secret force which enables the seeker to diligently continue all efforts of his seeking. Sadhana. Siddhi sadhana. So, if I am doing actions that help me to reach the self, it is because of the Atma enlivening me. So, he is the promoter of all achievements. That's what it means. Siddhi sadhana. Next shloka. Vrishahi Vrishabho Vishnu Vrishaparva Vrishodaraha Vardhano Vardhamanascha Vivikta Shruti Sagaraha Vrishahi Vrishabho Vishnu Vrishaparva Vrishodaraha Vardhano Vardhamanascha Vivikta Shruti Sagaraha Vrishahi, the revealer of Dharma. One who revealed the Dharma. Who gave us the Dharma through the Dharma Shastra? It is Brahmanam. Also it means the one who performs the sacrifice, one who performs Dharma. Vrisha means Dharma. Vrishahi means one who performs Dharma. Or the one who revealed the Dharma through the Vedas. Dharma was given to us how to live. See, why do we have to study Vedas? Why is it said that you study Veda and live your life? Tasma Shastram Pramanam Te is this. Because without Shastra, we will not know what the goal is. We are all thinking the goal is outside and we are searching for it outside. Shastra gives us the goal, gives us the direction, tells you how to achieve it. What are the things that will help you to achieve that? Therefore, Vrishahi. Then Vrishabaha. Vrishabaha is the next nama. It means the showerer of desired objects on his devotees. Which is what we saw in a different way. One who gives the desired objects to his devotees. Not gives without making them do things to achieve it. After they have done what they have to do to get it, he gives them. Then Vishnuhu. Vishnu means the one who pervades his entire universe. So therefore, Lord Vishnu means pervader. Then Vrishaparva. Vrishaparva means he has dharma as his steps. So if you wish to achieve Brahman, you have to climb the staircase of dharma, they say, the sages. The sages say, if you wish to attain liberation, you got to climb the steps of dharma. You follow that. You follow dharma, you will get there. Vrishaparva. Vrishodaraha. He in whom all beings are contained. He is the source of all beings. Vrishodaraha. Vrishodaraha means the source of all beings. The very cause of all beings. Not only is the cause, he is the nourisher, says the next nama. This Vardhanaha. See, what does the parent do? They not only produce children, they sweat and toil to nourish the child till the child becomes independent. Isn't it? Similarly, he is the Vrishodaraha from whom all beings emerge. At the same time, he is the nourisher. How does he nourish us? How do you get nourished? How do you get nourished? By the food you eat, no? The air you breathe. By the food you eat and the air you breathe and all that. So he is the one who is coming into the plants and vegetation and entering your system. He is the one who is sitting there as a Vaishvanara, the hunger, digesting the food that you eat and distributing it so that you get nourished. So therefore, he is Vardhanaha, the nurturer and nourisher everywhere. Then Vardhamanaha. Vardhamanaha means one who can grow into any dimension. He can go and become like Vamana Avatara. Or you can take Vishwarupa that he showed in Mahabharata to Arjuna. You know, Vardhamanaha means one who can expand or one who can bring himself to a small, tiny form. So therefore, it's called Vardhamanaha. Viviktaha. Beautiful. Viviktaha means solitary. Brahman is solitary. Quality is isn't there, none other than Brahman. It means all alone. So the more and more you gain these qualities and are getting closer and closer to Brahman, you will also be in solitude. That doesn't mean you will hate company. In the Bhajagovinda Madhishankara beautifully says, no. Yogaratova, bhogaratova. Sangaratova Sangavihinaha Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandateva. Means what? Whether you are in yoga, meditation, or in boga, indulgence, Sangaratova, whether you are in the group, or Sangavihinaha, all alone. Yes, Bogaratova, Bogaratova, Sangaratova, Sangavihinaha. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandate. If in your thoughts you are thinking of Brahman, you will always be happy. So alone, solitude means never dependent on anybody or any being or any object. Only dependent on the truth. Those who depend on the truth need not be scared, need not be afraid. Only those who are not having the truth will be afraid. Isn't it? So therefore, solitude, never standing apart from everything, always alone. That's called Vivikta. Next is Suti Sagara. Beautiful. Suti, you know. What does Suti mean? Anybody? Suti means Vedas. Suti Sagara. Veda means knowledge. Scriptural texts. Ocean of scriptural texts. All the knowledges, scriptural texts, have come from the masters when they were in deep meditative state, where their ego was completely merged in the supreme truth. And therefore, whatever came through them and recorded as scriptural texts were the words of God. It is not their words. God's words came through them. Shruti Sagara. Sagara means ocean, you know that. So he is called a Shruti Sagara. Next shloka. Subujo Durdharo Vagmi Mahendro Vasudo Vasuhu Naikarupo Prahatrupa Shipi Vishta Prakashanaha Subujo. What is this? Achha. Subujo Durdharo Vagmi Mahendro Vasudo Vasuhu Naika Rupo Brihadrupas Sipi Vishta Prakashanaha Subhujaha. What is Bhuja means? Huh? Bhujangasan. You do know in yoga. Bhujangas. What is Bhuja?
Arms.
Huh?
Arms.
So Subhujaha means he has majestic arms. Majestic arms means what? He protects the world. Majestic in protecting the world. That's what it means. Subhujaha. And Durdharaha. Durdharaha means for all these bad fellows, you know, he finishes them. None can support and bear him who supports even earth, etc. Support all. Durdharaha. One cannot be comprehended by great yogis who spend a long time in meditation. None can support and bear him who supports even earth that supports all. He whom the yogins desire of liberation find it difficult to hold in their hearts during meditation. So Durdharaha, very difficult to conceive of Brahman and hold him with you, within you. See, you cannot hold him with you. But if you have love and affection for him, he out of his own volition will come and reside in. This is the thing. If you try to catch him, you cannot catch him. Like Yashoda Ma, why was Lord Krishna, doing that with Yashoda Ma? Because Yashoda Ma had love. Isn't it? It is because of her love. He was allowing her to tie him. So the only way you can actually get the help of God is through bhakti. God will be with you if you have bhakti. Then Vagmihi. Vagmihi, one who is eloquent of his glory. Also it means he from whom proceeds sacred speech which pertains to Brahman. Vagmihi. So the great speech which is so intelligent, you say, in the world is caused by his intelligence. Vagmihi. One from whom proceeds the sacred speech. All the speech that is good for the society. And then Mahendraha. This is very easy. Indra means Lord of Gods. And Mahendraha means he is the Indra also. He is the Lord of Lords. And Vasudaha. Vasudaha means giver of wealth. one who gives us wealth. Wealth, I already told you many times, not just material wealth. Though in this context it can be taken as material wealth, but it is material wealth. Health is, for example, wealth. If you have material wealth, but your health is gone for a toss, what is the use? You do not have true wealth. Healthy. When you are healthy, then you are wealthy. You know, and you are physically strong and have a lot of wealth also, but mentally scared. Will this Omicron take my life away? And will I die during shutdown? So that hardly anybody is there. All this kind of fear. That means what? You are mentally, you are not healthy. So there is physical health, there is mental health, there is material wealth. You need to have all this, then only you are wealthy. Just material wealth is not wealth at all. So therefore, this Vasu, Vasudaha, one who enriches all, one who gives wealth to everyone. Vasuhu, Vasuhu means wealth. Vasuhu, the next nama, which is wealth. The Naika Rupaha, one who is of infinite forms in his manifestations. All these various manifestations are him only. Therefore, he is Naika Rupaha. Na Eka Rupaha. That's what it means. It means many, many Rupa he has. And then Brahad Rupaha. Having an immense form. You know, a huge boar he came as. You know, so therefore, Brahad Rupaha. Scary. You know, if you see a huge boar which came to dig up the earth out. So that is Brahad Rupaha. And then Sipi Vishtaha, he who is the self of sacrificial animals. Sipi, he means sacrificial animal. He dwells in them in the form of sacrifice. See, there are certain sacrifices in the Vedic rituals also where the animal sacrifices are there. So therefore, in such sacrifices, he is the self in those sacrificial animals. Sipi Vishtaha. The sacrificial animals are called as Sipi. And Sipi Vishtaha means, even in those Sipi, he is the one who is residing. For certain reasons, these kind of rituals are performed. But even there, the self is Vishnu only, nobody else. And then, Prakashanaha. Prakashanaha means illuminator. One who illumines the physical senses of perception, action, and your mind and your intellect. Prakasha. And he is the one who illumines the whole universe through the sun. By entering the sun, he illumines the whole universe. He is the one who has entered your intellect, enlivens it, enters your mind, enlivens it, enters your eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell, tongue to touch. Sorry, tongue to taste and skin to touch. And he is the one who enters your organs of action to act. Therefore, Prakashanaha is the one who illumines everything. So, wherever you see anything that is illumining, who is the illuminator? He is the illuminator. He is the one who is behind. So, anything that shines is an object for you to comprehend and be reminded of God, to think of the divinity. You don't have to necessarily go to a temple or a church or a mosque. Anywhere anything is illumined, you can understand. Oh, okay. So if I'm conceiving a thought, my intellect is enlivened, illumined, Brahman. That's how you contemplate. So with this 274th Nama, we'll conclude today and we'll continue from next week.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Vyasanava Prakrite Swabhava Karomi Adya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Hari Om.